Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 11th of January 2016, the podcast that MMs its XVI. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again is Jonathan Lachey. John, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back. It's been a minute.
Let's passively resist the news of the bogus. And this is such big news, and there's so much to talk about, that I thought we'd dedicate the entire news of the bogus this week to the Oregon protests. And it's not so much the protests themselves that I want to talk about, but all of the way the big news media has been misrepresenting the protesters and what's going on.
What a way to start the new year, huh?
And I really want to throw brickbats at Wikipedia. More and more I've noticed them drifting away from their principle of neutral point of view. And more Wikipedia pages seem to have a political agenda.
Well, this was a point we brought up all the way back when we did Gamergate.
Right. But this is something people have to understand. Your bias doesn't feel to you like a bias. It feels like just how things are. So if you run into something that conforms to your perspective or ideology, it might seem neutral to you when the tools of rationality should tell you that it isn't.
And in this case, how's that how you pronounce it? Malheur?
I don't know how that's pronounced.
National Wildlife Refuge.
We'll go with Malheur.
There we go. Yeah, there's several instances of interesting omissions.
Well, it's like they go off the bat and they say they're a small armed group. Now, why is it so special that they're armed? Lots of people in this country go around armed.
As far as I can tell, none of them have even been fired.
Or even drawn.
It's been a peaceful protest.
It's a sit-in.
Yes.
That's what it is. Just like they did when they protested Vietnam, just like, you know, Martin Luther King's followers did when they were protesting segregation, just like Gandhi's followers did lots of times. What's the difference? Ooh, they have scary guns.
Well, and they vote Republican, Shane. That's what's the issue.
Oh, and they believe in Jesus because Ammon Bundy, quote, began leading the occupation after receiving a divine message from God ordering him to do so. And if you follow their link, that's actually a secondary source. From there, you can go and watch his original video, and that's not at all what he said. And even the site they linked to didn't say he claimed that God spoke to him. What he said was that he felt an overwhelming urge to find justice, not just for the Hammonds, but everyone else it was happening to. And this is one of the things we'll talk about, how this is not really about the Hammonds. They're just kind of like a final straw that got everyone fed up because this has been going on for a long time. So he prayed to God to clear his mind so he could write about it. And then his mind got cleared, and so he wrote that letter of protest. That's what it was. He didn't say that he got a divine message from God ordering him to do this. How is this neutral point of view?
Yeah, like I said, it's very selectively in how it's being done so that if you're really new to the story and you don't know any better, it's not overt in how it is, but still there.
And same with this, quote, some of the militia members stated that they were ready to, quote, kill and be killed in the standoff. That quote isn't from any militia members. It's from the first paragraph of the article they linked to. That article doesn't even pretend it's a quote. And if you actually read the article, they actually say that they're peaceful protesters, but they'll defend themselves if they're attacked. Well, of course, the mainstream media has been talking about this ad nauseum, so I think most listeners are probably familiar with what they've been saying. Here are some points the mainstream media and Wikipedia don't tell you. The point of contention started when Dwight Hammond and his son Stephen set a government-approved prescribed burn. And this is done to clear out underbrush, and especially juniper bushes. Juniper bushes aren't native to that area, so they're very invasive. So they did this burn, it got a little out of control, it spread to 139 acres of adjacent government land. They were able to put out the fire without the Bureau of Land Management doing anything, nobody was hurt, and the damages were less than $100. And according to a BLM report, the value of the land actually increased as a result. Now there was a second fire as well, and this one was unapproved, but they were doing it as an emergency measure because lightning had caused a range fire, because the BLM is very, very bad about trying to keep up their forests to prevent fires. So they set a backburn fire. They did save their ranch. The fire spread to a single acre of government land. And again, that raised its value according to the BLM. The Hammonds admitted to setting both fires, and the government is trying to make out like they're domestic terrorists. They charged them with 19 different crimes. The jury only found them guilty of the two fires they admitted setting. They acquitted most of the rest of them, and they were hung on the rest. The judge in the trial, Judge Hogan, thought that the 5-year mandatory minimum sentence for acts of terror didn't apply to this case because it wasn't an act of terror. I mean, just, it's not. They're setting backburn fires and prescribed burns. And so that sentencing them under that would violate the Eighth Amendment's prohibition of cruel and unusual punishment. As far as the charges they were hung on, the Hammonds reached a plea agreement with the government. Dwight was sentenced to 3 months in prison and Stephen 12. Despite the plea agreement, the government appealed this sentence to the Ninth Circuit, which is something a defendant would never be able to do, and the Ninth Circuit said that they should get the mandatory minimum. And that's pretty much what triggered the protest. They had already served their time. They had already served their jail sentence and gone out of jail and were back home. And so now they're saying, no, we're going to give you this entirely new sentence.
Yeah, I mean, prosecutorial abuse is a favorite topic of this podcast, but this is one of the most egregious examples I can remember in a while of this.
Oh, God, it's like count the amendments it violates. The Eighth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment.
Yes, in fact, I believe the original judge had said that he felt that the mandatory minimum sentencing actually violated the Eighth Amendment.
Yeah, mandatory minimums across the board, and that's something else we've complained about on the podcast. Mandatory minimums for drug sentencing. You're caught with drugs and you're sentenced to 20 years. You know, murderers get sentenced to 12 and are out in 6, you know.
And then not to mention the outrageous fines that these people were given.
The judge said that a fine was improper in this case, but the BLM still charged them with a $400,000 fine, which they paid.
Mm-hmm.
But BLM Range Conservation Agent Dave Ward and Specialist Roy Hogue testified that there had been no damage to the land, land productivity had improved, and there were no costs of fire suppression or rehabilitation.
And I believe as well part of that, and you know, this can feed into whatever conspiracy theory you particularly like. They had paid it $200,000 in one payment, and then there was a second payment of $200,000. And essentially, the BLM had said that if they didn't make that $200,000 payment and had to sell the land to make that money, the BLM had right of first refusal to buy the property.
And this is consistent with what had happened before. The Federal Fish and Wildlife Services wanted their land for quite some time. They bought all the land around them and illegally choked off their water supply and denied them the grazing rights they're legally entitled to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this just reeks of some of the Kafka-esque perfect storm of incompetence mixed with outright malice.
We've been quoting Kafka a lot recently on the show, too. This is a disturbing trend.
I actually just started rereading The Trial for the first time in a while. And
I should reread it, too, because, yeah, this is, yeah.
It's sad that you can just take out some words with fairly modern terms and it all of a sudden reads like the newspaper.
And here's something else. I mean, we see this in the news media. We see this in the social media as they spread all the memes around attacking the protesters. This is a peaceful protest. And like one of the things is, well, why aren't they sending the National Guard like in Ferguson or Baltimore? Because there wasn't any violence. There wasn't any threats of violence. No one was looting stores, setting fires to cars or anything like that.
Oh, but they said there'll be violence if the government attacks them. So therefore, they're violent protesters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, these people have just as much of a right to redress their grievances with the government on public land, just as much as the Occupy folks did several years ago.
Yeah. And the Black Lives Matter people.
And in this case, they occupied an empty building where nobody was working versus disrupting students going to class.
Or trying to study in the library.
Looting buildings. Keeping people from going to work.
Now, since we've mentioned the looters and the rioters, I think we should reiterate something that we were careful to say back when we covered that. There were also protesters who were protecting the businesses, doing things like linking arms to stop the rioters from going in. So,
very true.
I don't want to paint them all with the same brush. There were good protesters there. If you're on the Wi-Fi in a coffee shop or hotel, anyone on that network can get your traffic. Do you really trust all of those strangers? For that matter, do you really trust your ISP? A VPN can protect you from prying eyes, disguise your location, and even foil government sensors. It's essential in this day and age. So go to vpn.pugosity.tv and you'll be taken to BoxPN. Starting at just $2.99 a month, you can get unlimited high-speed connections to VPN servers all over the world. And they don't log connections, so your privacy is assured. Traveling abroad, just VPN home, and don't worry about what those other governments are doing. Back at home, stop your ISP from traffic shaping and messing with the quality internet access you're paying good money for. You can connect from multiple machines at once, including your smartphone or tablet, and it supports all the secure standards, including OpenVPN and SSTP. Bypass sensors and surveillance with your own secure VPN connection. Go to vpn.pugosity.tv. So let's do what the mainstream media and Wikipedia won't do and actually read their petition for redress of grievances and see what it's all about. And so these are just excerpts I'm going to read out. You can read the whole thing yourself, but they say, quote, Dwight and Stephen Hammond were not afforded their rights to due process as protected by the United States Constitution. Dwight and Stephen Hammond committed no crime in the act of performing the prescribed burn and backfire, that the U.S. government does not have authority to enforce territorial law under Article 4 within the state of Oregon, and that the county of Harney and state of Oregon failed to protect the Hammonds' rights as guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution. The U.S. government abused the federal court system, situating the Hammond family into duress as an effort to force the Hammonds to sell their Steen Mountain property to a federal agency. And by the way, this is me talking, the Constitution says that the federal government cannot purchase land in a state without permission from that state. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. The U.S. Attorney's Office exploited an act of Congress imposing cruel and unusual punishment upon residents of Harney County. Inside the borders of Harney County, the U.S. government is acting outside the authority enumerated in the Constitution of the United States. U.S. Congress does not have authority to legislate minimum sentences. We hold confirming video evidence of federal agents exhibiting a culture of intimidation towards individuals and businesses within the borders of Harney County, that federal agents by fire destroy private property, and that the Hammond family are being denied the same protection of the laws that are enjoyed by federal agents. Dwight and Stephen Hammond were sentenced for something different than what they were found guilty of. They are victims of cruel and unusual punishment, and that the U.S. Justice Department is violating the Eighth Amendment. They are being subject for the same offense, twice put in jeopardy, including that the Ninth District Court of Appeals is in violation of the Fifth Amendment. The U.S. Attorney's Office threatened the Hammond family with early detention and further punishment if the Hammond family continued to communicate with a certain individual. They don't say who that individual is, but this evidence foundationally speaks against the U.S. Attorney's Office in their gross effort to infringe upon the Hammonds' right to free exercise of speech. We, the people of these states united, insist that you immediately assemble an independent evidential hearing board comprised of the people of Harney County in accordance with common law principles, that the evidential hearing board call witnesses and investigate each of these allegations publicly, that the evidential hearing board make public conclusions in writing upon their findings. God, they just really sound like horrible, dangerous terrorists, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
That the Harney County Board of Commissioners and the Sheriff's Department enforce the conclusions of the evidential hearing board in support of the United States Constitution. We further insist that the Hammond family be protected from reporting to federal prison until all allegations can be determined. And by the way, they did report to the authorities on the 4th as ordered, but they are issuing an appeal.
No, and I think that's a good point here, where they talk about the burns that by federal agencies that destroyed, what was it, several hundred thousand acres of private property in Oregon because they were done so poorly and burned several homes. That's something you don't really get mentioned a lot.
Yeah, this is very much different rules for thee than for me.
Mm-hmm.
So we have like the May 2000 Los Alamos fire, where more than 42,000 acres were burned and more than 400 families were left homeless. And yet, none of the National Park Service workers or officials who set the fire and approved the fire and everything, none of them were prosecuted. None of them had any civil action taken against them. No disciplinary action at all.
But you burn a couple of acres and backfires.
And do less than $100 of damage.
5 years in jail.
And a $400,000 fine for less than $100 of damage.
Yeah.
And the thing that gets me is they're saying that it wasn't their fault. The policy was flawed. Okay. Well, let's put the policy in jail. Yeah, they were just doing their jobs.
Right.
And something else the mainstream media is doing is pretending that these are just fringe radicals that don't have the support of the people around them, which just isn't true either. They cherry-picked a few people who disagreed, but they have overwhelming support from people in the area, including from the Oregon Farm Bureau, who started a petition against the actions taken against the Hammonds. It has more than 25,000 signatures as of this recording. And so, again, just excerpts, what they say is, quote, BLM and the U.S. Department of Justice prosecuted the Hammonds under charges subject to the 1996 Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act. The government used a kitchen sink strategy, charging them with 19 counts. They were not found guilty of any charges except for the two fires which they admitted setting. For their sentence, both served federal prison time, Stephen over a year, Dwight 3 months, and together they paid over $400,000 in restitution and fines to the federal government. They made mistakes, broke the law, had a fair trial, and paid their debt to society. After the original trial, Judge Michael Hogan said that the crimes the Hammonds were convicted for could not have been conduct intended under the terrorism law. He said 5 years of jail time would result in a sentence which is grossly disproportionate to the severity of the offenses here and would shock the conscience. This is the judge who presided over the entire trial and knew every fact of the case. This prosecution will have a chilling effect across the West among ranchers and others who rely on federal allotments and permits. It will harm the positive relationship many ranchers and organizations have worked to forge with the Bureau and the hard work that has been done on the range. It also is hypocritical, given BLM's own harm to the range, which goes without consequence. It is unjust. OFB worked quietly behind the scenes with BLM through the spring and summer. That diligent diplomatic effort was fruitless.
It really is tantamount to extortion, which is basically what they're saying here.
Yeah, pretty much. And making an example of them. See what happens if you don't turn your land over to us?
Mm-hmm. Really, the main goal here is you're seeing just a further, particularly in the low-population western states, of which, well, eastern Oregon really, you know, besides the closer to the left coast, but that area of Oregon, Nevada, Wyoming, Idaho, all those areas, you're seeing the feds just take up as much land as possible.
And they've got like something like, what is it, 85% of the land in that area?
Something like that. Yeah, it's insane.
And I mean, that's the thing about this. It isn't just one incident. It's the last straw of something that's been going on a long time.
It's a power grab for the sake of a power grab, essentially.
Now you can make Amazon purchases with Bitcoin by going to purse.bogosity.tv. That's P-U-R-S-E. Moreover, most purchases can be made at a discount. Save an average of 20% just by buying from Purse, or get even greater discounts by linking your Amazon wish list. Go to purse.bogosity.tv. Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide a means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv, or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. And in fact, last October, Texas Governor Greg Abbott wrote a letter in protest of the injustices the BLM was doing down in Texas, where he said things like, quote, "The BLM should demonstrate that the federal government still respects private property and end this unconscionable land grab. I am about ready to go to the Red River and raise a come and take it flag to tell the feds to stay out of Texas." And remember, they can only purchase land with the consent of that state. And this is the governor speaking. They obviously don't have the consent of the state to take this land. And this is a conflict between Texas landowners and the BLM back in April 2014, where he said they would just, quote, "swoop in and take land that has been owned and cultivated by Texas landowners for generations." My fellow Texans and I are still waiting for an answer. The BLM has yet to identify what land the federal government newly claims as its own. The BLM has yet to identify the legal basis for that claim. And the BLM has yet to identify the process by which Texans can protect their land and private property rights.
And I think there's the kicker, and not to bring up Kafka again, I think quite a bit of this is left intentionally absurd, vague, and frustrating, just to make it that much more difficult for the little guy to gain a foothold and to come up with a coordinated strategy to defend themselves whenever the full wrath of the federal government does come down on them.
Well, and it's a bit like Catch-22 as well, since there is no law actually called Catch-22, then how are you going to oppose it in court? How are you going to get Congress to repeal it if it doesn't exist and everyone just pretends like it does, you know?
Exactly.
He also said, quote, "The landowners along the Red River have lived and labored on this land for generations. The BLM now inexplicably seeks to take control of thousands of acres of private land for undetermined recreational activities. Throughout the process, the BLM has minimized the landowners' grave and legitimate concerns while providing no clarity regarding the authority for taking the land in the first place. Explaining to landowners that the process is long and complex, that surveys will be done, or that landowners will eventually be able to file a color of title lawsuit is neither solution nor solace. Instead, it is an illegal taking. These actions harm Texans now by clouding the title to the land their families have owned for generations. The BLM's actions prevent landowners from borrowing against the land to finance business operations or selling the land to new owners looking to cultivate their own economic freedom. In many cases, your actions threaten to take the very homes above these Texans' heads."
And that goes right back to what I was saying. They're not telling you how they can do this, why they're doing this. And basically saying, well, once we do take the land, then you can sue us.
Yeah, which took Tommy Henderson 30 years to do that and get his land back. And that is land that had been in his family's possession undisputed since 1904.
And I'm surprised it only took him 30 years or that he was even able to get the land back in the first place.
Yeah. And Abbott mentioned that in his letter and chastised the BLM for failing to do this in a timely manner. You know, like Martin Luther King said, justice delayed is justice denied. They deprived the Texas family of their private property for over 30 years. And he said, quote, "The realization of this mistake," it was just a mistake, it was just a mistake, "does not appear to have deterred BLM's much larger land grab. As the old saying goes, those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it."
And let's be honest, it isn't a mistake. It's a symptom of a systematic growth of the federal government expanding its land holdings in the West.
And you did not use the wrong word there. It is systematic, not systemic. That's how it's set up. Abbott concludes, quote, "Our Constitution, the same Constitution you have taken an oath to uphold, rests on the principle that governments are created to protect private property owners' rights, not destroy them. This principle is enshrined in the Fifth Amendment of our founding document. The BLM should demonstrate that the federal government still respects private property rights and end this unconscionable land grab."
And that's sort of what we've been repeating ad nauseum. This is all about unconscionable land grabs by the feds.
Yep, that's what all of this is about. That's what this protest is about. And that's what the media isn't talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in all the media coverage over this, have you heard one word about any of that?
Not really.
No, it's just all, oh, they're all Molotov cocktail-throwing anarchists who hate the government, and, you know.
Or, oh, they're probably on Social Security, so they really like the government.
Yeah.
You know, it's a shame, you know, because I see the Hammonds, they've said that they, you know, have sent out press releases saying they don't want the amount of coverage this story has gotten. You can just sort of tell by that press release. This poor family has just been sort of beaten down and rubbed down to the nub by this whole ordeal. But this is still a huge civil rights issue that needs to be talked about, and unfortunately it's just, in the mainstream media, on both left and right, it's just devolved to your typical screaming match without any actual facts.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. You go through all of this to try and get attention for the issue and try and get people talking about it, and what happens? People aren't talking about the issues that you're trying to raise awareness of. They're just, you know, doing their own left versus right, we versus not we, you know, dividing up our team versus your team and doing the same screaming match they've been doing for decades. You do all that, You get all that attention, and nothing happens. History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's LibertyClassroom.com. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, LibertyClassroom.com teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects, and when you sign up, you get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit LibertyClassroom.com. And now it's time to decolonize this week's biggest bogon emitter. And this week, it goes to Microsoft. And apparently 200 million PCs installing Windows 10 isn't good enough for Microsoft. No, apparently to make sure they reach 1 billion Windows 10 installations by 2017, they're scaremongering about Windows 7.
Hey, my desktop still uses Windows 7.
Yeah, I upgraded mine over the holiday, and the upgrade's gone fairly well, but, you know, there's certainly nothing wrong with Windows 7. That isn't already wrong with, you know, any other form of Windows, but still.
Well, I use my desktop. It's an older machine, but it's still perfectly valid. You know, because I don't have cable, I use it as basically a DVR for over-the-air TV.
Yeah. But Microsoft says you keep running Windows 7 at your own risk, at your own peril. And specifically, this is Microsoft Chief Marketing Officer Chris Capocella talked about the risks of Windows 7 and urged that it's time to switch to the new Windows 10, saying that Windows 7 is apparently less secure, so it is, quote, so incredibly important to try to end the fragmentation of the Windows install base and to get them to a, quote, safer place. And he also said, quote, we do worry when people are running an operating system that's 10 years old that the next printer they buy isn't going to work well. Or they buy a new game. They buy Fallout 4, a very popular game, and it doesn't work on a bunch of older machines, not to mention viruses and security problems. All right, many issues with this. First of all, Microsoft is supporting Windows 7 until 2020. That means you're still going to get all of the security updates. So you're going to get all of the bugs fixed, all the security holes plugged, same one that's in Windows 10 because they still share the same code base.
Mm-hmm.
There's no indication that people are selling hardware that's not compatible with Windows 7. And in fact, since there are so many more installations of Windows 7 out there, it's something like 55% of the install base. If anything, they're going to support Windows 7 before they support Windows 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, Fallout 4... example, you can look up any system requirements for the PC version of Fallout 4. Let's see. Oh, what's this? Operating system supported. Windows 7, 8, and 10, 64-bit.
Yeah, it supports Windows 7. If you've got a problem with Fallout 4 not running on your older system, it's because you need to upgrade the hardware, get a new video card or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to release a game on PC right now, you'd be a fool not to make sure it was Windows 7 compatible.
Yeah, 55% of the install base. Who's going to release a printer that doesn't work on 55% of the install base?
The government.
Well, okay. Maybe the government should up to Windows 10. Anyway. So he says, quote, we think that every machine that is capable of running Windows 10, we should be doing everything we possibly can to get people to move to Windows 10. We're going to try to find that right balance. Gotta love that word balance again. But we just know there are many people out there who constantly kick the can down the street without a little bit more of a, frankly, push. It's hard to move anyone to a new model without angering some people. We don't want to anger anybody, but we do feel a responsibility to get people to a much better place, and Windows 10 is a much better place than Windows 7. Well, that's a subjective value judgment. From what I've seen of Windows 10, there are some advantages of it over Windows 7, but Windows 7, you're not going to, it's not like Windows XP that they've stopped supporting and that doesn't support a lot of the latest cryptography systems out of the box. And so you're connecting with crypto that's not as secure and you're not getting security updates and things like that. That's an issue if you're on Windows XP, but it's not an issue on Windows 7 because they're still updating Windows 7.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting they're pushing so many people to Windows 10. The more and more we find out just how much Windows 10 is actually data collecting from you.
Yeah, well, they've added that to Windows 7 too. So, and most of that you can turn off. Most of it isn't a big deal. I mean, if you get an Android phone and you put in your Google account, guess what? Google's going to collect that data from you. Apple's going to collect it from you when you, you know, set up your iPhone. So really, they're just kind of catching up with the rest of the industry on that. The native advertising, I'm not that crazy about, but...
Yeah.
Because I don't think either Android or iOS do that. And of course, people have been complaining about their annoying pop-ups. It's one thing to say, okay, you're ready to update to Windows 10. This icon will be down here. Click it when you're ready. To just keep up and keep doing it. And I've read reports of people who actually go into Windows Update and tell it to hide the update, which means it's not going to install it, that does all of this. And then Microsoft unhides the update and puts it back in. So, yeah, they're really doing things that aren't really that on the level here.
We gotta make sure you get them in time for that free upgrade.
So the article closes out. Technically, Microsoft is giving an option to users, but by enforcing annoying pop-ups every time, removing opt-out options, as well as threatening average user with baseless warnings, it appears there is no choice for users at all. So it should be completely our choice whether we want to switch to Windows 10 or not, or the better option is to switch onto a Linux operating system. Of course, they're the Hacker News. Of course, they're going to say Linux is better, but if you're like me, you've got software that won't run under Wine, so you have to have a Windows installation.
Well, that's why you always do a dual boot.
Yeah.
Linux meant for the win.
Yeah, dual boots are really crazy, though. It's better to just do your Linux installation and then put VirtualBox on there and install Windows in that, but there are issues with that, too. So all of that makes Microsoft this week's biggest bogon emitter. Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Back up sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.bogosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.bogosity.tv and get LastPass now. And now let's emulsify this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And apparently Hillary Clinton's worried about the other presidential contenders getting more of these than she is, so she's racked up her third already. She said that if she's elected president, she will get to the bottom of Area 51 and give the public the truth about aliens.
And I thought I was the only one excited for the X-Files coming back.
And in case you think she's being coy about this and is just going to say, yep, there's no aliens. No, she said, quote, I think we may have been visited already. And this was all when she was speaking with Damon Steer of the Conway Daily Sun in New Hampshire.
The only aliens that have visited the Clinton residence are the ones that were going into Bill's bedroom.
Yeah, in 2014, Bill Clinton actually told Jimmy Kimmel that he wouldn't be surprised if aliens had visited Earth. And he also said, quote, no, I am trying to tell you I don't know, but if we were visited someday, I wouldn't be surprised. I just hope it's not like Independence Day.
I mean, there's nothing wrong. I mean, personally, do I think aliens exist on other worlds? Yes, but that's just because when you do the math...
Because there are so many worlds out there, yeah. One is a really stupid number in this universe.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense if there is nothing of a certain thing in the universe, but if there's one instance of it, there's going to be another and another and another and another.
Right.
You know.
I mean, heck, it seems like we're getting closer and closer to finding life within our own solar system.
Maybe. Microscopic life, but still.
Compare that to 4-foot gray beings with giant eyes that keep wanting to shove things up our ass.
Yeah, because they haven't invented MRIs yet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's up with that. But yeah, Hillary said, quote, "I think we may have been, as in may have been visited already. We don't know for sure." And then she promised to look into Area 54, which she quickly corrected herself and said Area 51.
No, you see, Area 54, that's the real secret base that nobody knows about.
Didn't Area 54 get to number 6 with Baby I Want Your Love thing? But she's saying, like, maybe we could have, like, a task force to go to Area 51. Hillary, you'd be the president. You're the commander-in-chief of the entire armed forces. You don't need a task force. You just need to go knock on the front door.
God. I just want to see the bodies, damn it.
But we're going to give you the truth about Area 51. Area 51 is a top-secret Air Force base where they work on the next generation of aircraft that has to be kept secret from foreign governments. We don't want her spilling the beans about that. That's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. It's not a coincidence that triangular-shaped UFOs sightings all of a sudden got popular in the American Southwest when they were test-flying the stealth bombers.
Well, and here's an interesting thing about the triangular craft. When you look at a lot of those videos and everything, they're really just three lights, and they just kind of mentally draw the line between those three lights. The thing is, if those are like three separate aircraft, and you're interpreting them as a triangle, then you will see it as a triangle that's moving around in crazy directions and doing crazy things. But three points always make a triangle. So,
mm-hmm.
There was also one helicopter, I forget which one it is, but, you know, you have the helicopter and you have the landing skirts. And inside the landing skirts, you have the landing lights, and they're arranged in a triangular formation. So a lot of the ones they've seen, they've taken that helicopter and overlaid over it, and it was perfect.
Mm-hmm. Basically, pretty much every major aircraft for years has been, at least for... Actually, weren't the early NASA test missions done at Area 51 as well, weren't they?
They might have been.
I know. Oh, the U-2, that's where that got started.
Yeah, I think the SR-71.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, the stealth bomber.
Yeah. Pretty much any major aviation that this country's come up with since World War II, it's come out of that base.
If it hasn't come from the private sector, you know, Boeing or whoever.
Yeah.
So all of that makes Hillary Clinton, once again, this week's...
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Well, that wraps up this I'm a Miserable Worthless Hunk of Slime edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Come join the discussion at forum.bogosity.tv and feel free to join in by sending a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. You can even stick it in an audio file if you want. This podcast depends on you to keep going, so please donate using the links on the website or the QR codes in the YouTube video. You can also become a patron at patreon.bogosity.tv and get the podcast and YouTube videos early and without ads or promos. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Jonathan Loche for joining me.
Thanks to Shane for letting me come on again, and hey, Sunday, January 24th, The X-Files is coming back. The truth is still out there.
I can hardly wait. Until next time, here's a quote from Eliezer Yudkowsky. My experience is that journalists report on the nearest cliche algorithm, which is extremely uninformative because there aren't many cliches. The truth is often quite distant from any cliche. And the only thing you can infer about the actual event was that this was the closest cliché. It is simply not possible to appreciate the sheer awfulness of mainstream media reporting until someone has actually reported on you. It is so much worse than you think. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License.
Bogosity.
Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.
I like the X-Files for like a season and a half, and then, I don't know.
As it went on, I liked the episodes that were more of like self-parody. Like, what was that? The Jose Chung's From Outer Space was in like season 3 or 4. Amazing episode that basically is one of the best instances of a show being a self-parody of itself.
I think Fringe did a lot better job with stuff like that. Maybe that's just me.
Mm-hmm.